الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وطبيب نفوسنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لا سيما بقية الله روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullah. Two quick announcements that I meant to mention in the previous nights before I start my speech. Inshallah, tomorrow night, as you are aware, there will be a Quran competition between the children. It's really very important for all of us to participate attentively. Your presence, especially the elderly parents, will encourage our children. So, although there won't be any lecture, so to speak, tomorrow night, and the program will be quite different, I suppose. But please make sure that we participate, inshallah, if not better than the previous nights, at least the same as others. It's really very important that when our children have presentation, their parents, with their participation, and the community, with their participation, they encourage them. This is one. And the second, from Friday, for three consecutive days and nights, here there will be an i'tikaf. I'tikaf, inshallah, tomorrow night, briefly I speak about it, as I was suggested. But for the time being, i'tikaf literally means detachment from dunya. It's very healthy. In fact, it was a prophetic tradition that the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan, he would detach himself from the worldly life and stay in the mosque, dedicating himself day and night to the worshipping of God. For those that it is possible for them and they want to enroll and join that i'tikaf, they can still, I suppose, there is still room and they can put their names down and inshallah attend this i'tikaf. If you however decided to attend, remember that you have to stay the whole 3 days and nights in the masjid. You are not allowed to change your mind halfway through and leave. So don't put your name unless you are sure that you can stay at least 3 days that they have it here as i'tikaf. And inshallah Sunday, it will be Sunday morning. When I say morning, from midnight or very late at night, I will be here all the night through, or most of the night. Anyone has any issue, personal issue, discussion, religiously, or anything that would somehow be related to me and they'd like to discuss it with me, inshallah I'll be here the whole night available, and we'll make a schedule that I can see if anyone has anything to discuss with me, or any question or any comment, suggestion, whatever. Inshallah I'll be here that night for the community. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The topic for tonight is a topic that, although is spoken about, but it's one of definite fruits of the month of Ramadan. And it's from, inshallah, tomorrow, tonight onward, we want to pick up the fruits of the month of Ramadan and carry them with us all the way through the year. So that we don't say goodbye to practicing our religion at 8 time by the end of the month of Ramadan. Ramadan is like going to a garden that you are picking the fruits and you want to carry the benefits of the month of Ramadan all the way through. The topic for tonight is a topic that for the elderly, for parents, I really urge them to make sure that, inshallah, you share it, you encourage, you make sure that your children, youngsters, they have it from a very young age all the way through. And then whether they live with you in Mombasa, in Kenya, or they are living somewhere else in the world, no matter how far they may go, to the remotest area in the world, even if they go, this is a compass. If you make sure that this compass is instilled in their heart, in their mind, and they are familiar with this compass, they are practicing it, they know how to use it, no matter where in the world they will be, this compass will always keep them on the right path. This is the compass that in Islam is considered one of the pillars of Islam. Inshallah, you're getting to the topic. This is the compass that Imam Ali alayhi salam, in his will to his son, also mentions that, my dear son, remember that this compass should be a scale in your life. Every activity in your life should be measured with this. This should be a central part of your daily activities. Okay? Your business, your social relation, your family relation, everything else should rotate around this. This is the major, this is the principle. Everything else will be like a satellite. You work it out around this. And that is our salat. Ya bunay, kulla amalin taba'un li salatik. My dear son, remember that every activity in your life should follow your salat. Not that your salat should follow them. Like my business hours, I fix my business hours with my salat. Not that when I get a chance after my business is over, I go and pray after hours, for example, or later on the day. When the time for the salat comes, even the tawaf in Hajj, although tawaf itself has the reward of salat, at tawafu bil bayt salatun, yet even at prayer time, tawaf has to stop. If you've been to Hajj, you see that at prayer time, even the tawaf stops. Let alone my business. Let alone our social gathering. No matter what we are doing, nothing is more important and is more significant than prayer time. And according to this recommendation of Imam Ali alayhi salam, it is always very good. I wish the community gets to that level, inshallah. I have been trying my very best places that I had some sort of voice or encouraging the communities. Don't separate your namaz from your programs. So much so that I know sometimes the timing is a bit difficult, but still we can plan it. In such a way that when we are writing the agenda, for example, for tonight's program, our namaz, our salat must be one of the agenda. In fact, the top of the agenda. We should get together. Like you want to invite someone to your house for iftar. Make the main agenda namaz. And then we eat. And then we have whatever other activity that we have arranged. Always in your activities, bring namaz as a major ingredient to that activity. Then you will be among those who yuqimun as salat. This salat that we say, I say my prayer, Quran doesn't say your prayer. Iqamat salat, to establish the salat. Establishing salat, it means, number one, as much as possible we do it congregationally. We do it all together. You're establishing a tradition. Establishing salat, it means that you are giving it the significance in your life. Quran, subhanAllah, in Surah Ma'un, is promising hell to those who pray. Not to those who don't pray. Of course they are hellbound. But Quran even is saying that one of the names of hell is wail, woo. And the reward says that is another name for hell. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. Woe to those who pray. Ajib. Woe to those who pray? Quran said yes, but let me tell you what kind of prayer they have offered. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Those who pray, but prayer was the last agenda in their life. Like after hours, after he comes back from work, if he is in the mood of it, he prays. Sahoon here, it means those who don't give priority to their namaz. Namaz doesn't have priority. It's the least priority in their daily activities. Quran says these are not the real prayer, musalleen. Or only when he goes to the mosque, joining the club, joining the majority, you see he prays. Other than that, he's very lenient, he's careless about salat. Quran says this is not a musalleen. And there is another condition to it that inshallah in the coming nights I bring that one up to tell you that what kind of musallin is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is cursing them and says that even your salat will not be accepted. Why? Because Allah subhanahu said that inna salata kanat ala al-mu'minina kitaban mawquta. Salat is has fixed timing. Commit yourself to the fixed timing of the prayer. Not that any time convenient for me that I'm allowed to pray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praising the true believers, those who alladhinahum an salatihim yuhafidhun, those who are safeguarding their prayers. The riwayat says, yani they are watching the time for the salat. When is the time for morning prayer? Not only in the month of Ramadan they know prayer time, especially morning prayer. Throughout the year they know the time for the morning prayer and they attend. We don't want our masajid in the month of Ramadan to be full and attending the masajid during the month of Ramadan, and after Ramadan is over, back to normal life. Shut the doors of the masajid, no more morning prayer, no more zuhr as prayer, back to life. We are encouraged to come to the mosque during the month of Ramadan to get a good habit. Inshallah, at the end of the month, I will mention the lessons that we are supposed to learn from the month of Ramadan. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam says that Allah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. The Prophet says that we have experienced that at iftar time, even Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says there is a pleasure for a fasting person in dunya and pleasure in the hereafter. His pleasure in dunya is at the time that he is opening his fast at iftar time. Yummy food in front of you, starving, you enjoy the dinner. You appreciate it no more because you haven't been eating, drinking. In the hereafter, when he receives the reward of his fasting. Now the Prophet says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made for a hungry person enjoying his food and a thirsty person enjoying his drink, the water that he drinks for example. In the same way and more than that, God has made me habbaba ilayya salat kama habbaba ila al-ja'i'i al-ta'am wa ila al-dam'ani al-sharab. See how God has made you enjoy the food when you are starving, after starvation, and enjoy the drink. The Prophet says that that's how I enjoy the namaz. I'm longing for it. Even the Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, the Prophet could not wait for salat time. And often he is telling Bilal, Ya Bilal, arihna, say the azan. Like someone who can wait. You know, imagine that you are standing behind the gate of the palace of a very important king of the kings, with all the gifts awaiting for you. You are behind the door waiting for the door to open. How much you are really counting every second. When is going to open? When is going to open? The Prophet was like this. When it was getting close to prayer time, he could not waste it. Ya Bilal, arihna. It's azan time. Don't delay it. Say it. I'm waiting for azan to start my prayer. The Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam were also like this. The lifestyle of the Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, anyone wants to follow that path, is the lifestyle of anyway giving salat the first priority in your life. Now tonight, that was just a quick introduction. Tonight I want to inshallah share with you a brief interpretation of our daily prayer. To see how is it that it is quoted that salah as salatu qurban wa kull taqi. Our daily prayers is like an aircraft taking us into proximity and nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How is it that salat is the ascension of every believer? How is it that this salat is the ascension? And only especially our youth, new Muslims, children, if they know the beauty of what they are doing, if they know where they go during the daily prayers, impossible no one would or they wouldn't be interested in doing that. Who doesn't want every day to meet with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Who doesn't want every day to go to paradise? Daily prayers takes us to that journey. Inshallah, with salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, I share it with you. Before we start our prayer, we are recommended to make a wudu. Ablution, wudu or ghusl is a physical purification as a gesture of, apart from of course our making ourselves physically clean, it's also a gesture for cleansing our soul as well. Alright? consider it like this, that when we pray, because salat literally is from wasl. If you want to know the meaning of namaz in Arabic, salat, salat means al-wasl. So for when I go to my salat, I get connected. As I mentioned before, the connection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always on. It is my salat that Quran says, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ, to remember me. The only distance between us and God is our heedlessness, al-ghafla. Namaz removes that ghafla, heedlessness, and therefore connects me. So if anybody asks you that, what does salat literally mean? Say connection, wasl. Wasl does not happen unless like these two fingers, unless they're so close to each other to get connected. Two wires so close that they get connected. Of course, astaghfirullah, we are not talking about the physical connection with God, but spiritually we go to the maximum possible closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I inshallah share it with you, during our daily prayers, we are making a spiritual journey, ascending, and the altitude of our soul goes so high to the highest possible, so that you and I in our daily prayers come in direct, absolute direct communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Figuratively speaking, like face to face, we are seeing each other and talking to each other. That's how in our daily prayers we'll be conversing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Making the wudu, I usually give this example, especially when I'm talking with the youngsters, newlywed young men and women, because they can relate to it. So many of you are married. If you elderly, they can remember the older days that were just engaged, and how much you were interested to go and see the missus, all right, in her parents' house. You were grooming, preparing yourself. Figure of a speech is just like this. Or if you like to fasten your seatbelt and get to this aircraft called Salat, so that inshallah we go on a journey, a spiritual journey. Ready for that? After grooming myself, because wudu is part of grooming, it's mustahab to wear perfume, wear your best clothes. The Imams of Ahlul Bayt were wearing their best clothes when they wanted to pray. Adhan and Iqame is just like I'm reviewing what I'm going to say to my fiancé. Excuse me, Ya Allah, I'm using the figurative example. What I'm going to tell her, what she's going to tell me, and this, and inshallah you come quickly to the real love. Adhan and Iqame is said to prepare myself. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. It is not healthy for the spirituality of our prayer to just make wudu, stand towards Allah, say Allahu Akbar, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Those who say that, Shaykh, why is it that we don't have our hearts present? Part of it is because we don't do the mustahabbat. From the time that we start making the wudu, we should create that spirituality that I'm preparing myself to go in meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It helps therefore. I've said the adhan and iqame, and the moment that I want to start, this is just like starting the engine of your aircraft for your ascension. Allahu Akbar. Let me explain to you the meaning of Allahu Akbar quick. And I'm very much conscious about the time. Allahu Akbar means, to start with, I compared Allah with my business. Noon time is business hours. I compared him with my business. I preferred Allah and worshipping Allah, meeting with Allah over my business. And therefore I said Allahu Akbar. I compared Allah with my sleeping in my bed in the morning, comfortably sleeping on my bed. I preferred Allah and worshipping and meeting and intimacy and love with Allah over my bed. And therefore I left bed. تَتَجَافَ جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِ. Good Muslims are those that they got off the bed. They left the bed because Allahu Akbar. So Allahu Akbar, it means I compared God with any other call, any other invitation. Allahu Akbar. See, in our conversation, imagine your friend is calling you to come for a party, or is asking something. Are you coming? No. You don't come? No. Third time, he keeps insisting on this. Ah, no. Leave me alone. No. jurisprudentially, you can say Allahu Akbar without raising your hands. It is mustahab to raise your hands up to here. This is a gesture to say, like I'm saying no to everyone else. Putting the whole dunya wa ma fiha. And for urafa, dunya and akhira even. They put it all behind Allahu Akbar, only Allah. Nothing else. And therefore, Allahu Akbar. And that's why we are facing the wall, we are back in the wall facing the Qibla. Qibla as a gesture of facing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So by saying this, I'm in my prayer already. God says, okay, now you're in business. Now you're connected. So far as your mind is in your office, so far as your mind is elsewhere, you are not with me yet. Don't say Allahu Akbar. And that's why in our prayer, the only part that it's a must to have your heart with you, it's a must. If I'm absent-minded saying Allahu Akbar, I have not started my namaz yet. It's a must. Why? Because without this, you have not started the engine. So with the intention that I'm offering two rakat, for example, namaz subh, قربتن الله, Allahu Akbar, everything behind me other than you, Allah. And then I start the journey. Aircraft starts to take off soon. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Quran in Surah An-Nam says that you get your car to your any transport. Bismillahir Majraha wa Mursaha. They start the engine with the name of Allah. Any journey, anything you start without the name of God is incomplete. Therefore, this is spiritual journey, I start with the name of God. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawm al-Din. I'm telling you, that's how it's going. I'll explain to you how. From Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, that inshallah you know the literal meaning of it. All praise belong to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, the most merciful, the most compassionate, the master of the day of judgment. Say, I need to make a detour and quickly take you to school for a minute. In English, in Arabic, in all languages, we have a absent tense, we have a present tense. In our conversation, if for example, now I don't see, for example, Hajj, I don't want to embarrass anyone, but I don't see Hajj Riyaz tonight. Said, he is not here. They say, you are not. He told me so. See, I'm using the absent pronoun. Someone who is not present. When I start my prayer, I say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din. He who is the master of the day of judgment. I'm talking about God who is absent. But now that my aircraft has gone high enough, the altitude is high enough that I'm in the presence of God, all of the sudden you see the tone of conversation changes from Maliki Yawmiddin, he who is the master of the day of judgment, becomes to Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in. You alone we worship, you alone we seek for help. Why he became you? God is always present. Astaghfirullah, there is no such thing that God is absent. In my mind, God was absent. And now my prayer has taken me, uplifted me so high that my soul is in the presence of God. And therefore, Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in, you alone. You appreciate that we only use this pronoun when we are facing each other. And from here onward, we are in the presence of God. Now that I'm in the presence of God, directly you alone, then God says that, ask me what you want. Therefore say, Ihdina sir, Ihdina, yani you, not he. You guide us to the right path. And here, lest I forget, the reason that we use the plural pronoun, you alone, we worship, you alone, we seek for help, we, is because Salat is meant to be congregational. By default, it's supposed to be congregational. Individual praying is in a situation that's not possible to pray Jama'at. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Again, imagine that your soul is in the presence of God. You guide us to the right path, the path of those whom you bless, not those that earned your anger those who went astray? Now that I finish speaking with God in His presence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that now that you are with me, let me introduce myself to you. Bika araftuk. I want to know God from Himself, not anyone else. I prefer you introduce yourself to me. Quran says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qul. You tell me again the difference between qul and qala. Qala, it means he said. Qul means you said. Again, I'm in the presence of God, therefore. Otherwise, what's the meaning of qul? When God is telling you in the prayer and you repeat the words of God for your soul to hear it, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. هُوَ here doesn't mean absent. هُوَ here is used to show the sublime majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Ahad, He is unique. God in Surah Al-Tuhid, Surah Al-Tuhid is the best and the most and comprehensive description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Al-Tuhid, astaghfirullah, to give this example, Surah Al-Tuhid is like the identity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you ever wanted to introduce who is my Lord that I worship, Surah Al-Tuhid is the best description. That's why it's recommended to be more than any other surah in namaz to say that هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد, or any other surah that you choose. Wow! I spoke with God directly. God spoke with me directly. What a blessing. You are so much in awe that you just go down in appreciation. سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمد. Glory to my God, the exalted. By bowing and doing the ruku. سَمَعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ. سَمَعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ. It means God is granting whoever is praising Him. And then you say that sometimes I bend for people out of respect and appreciation as well. That is not enough for my Creator. So you drop yourself on the ground. Do the sajda. Prostration means absolute humiliation and thanksgiving. My forehead, my head, my brain is behind here. The dearest part of my body, I put it on the dirt as an expression of my appreciation and my obedience, my worshipping to you. I do the sajda. Subhana rabbi al-a'la wa bihamdi. First sajda, second sajda. Ya Allah, is it possible to repeat it the first time? Like, I like to talk to you again. God says, yes, got up, give it a second go. In the second rak'at also again you start. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When you read the dua of Ahlul Bayt, you see that they don't start in the beginning all of the sudden asking their needs. They start praising Allah. This is the way that it works. They start praising Allah. Like, astaghfirullah, you go to the gym, first you warm up a bit, and then you get to the actual exercise. You warm up your souls with praising Allah until now again you reach the altitude. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. In the second rak'ah, after God has introduced Himself, God says, look, I have given you a private special audience. You are with me. Are you sure you don't want anything? Say, yes, 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 oh, yes. I'm a beggar, Ya Allah. I'm a beggar, please. God says, ask as you wish. And in any language you wish. You know, qunut, you don't have to say it in Arabic. And there is no, like, there's no, it's not a set supplication. Speak to God in any language and as you wish. Yes, there are some recommended supplications we usually use, but you don't have to only stick to those supplications. Speak to God as you wish. You finish this ruku, sujood. In the second rak'ah, you had the honor of being in the presence of God, spoke with God directly, asked your needs, took your needs to God directly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, my dear servant, now you deserve to enter my paradise. But to enter the paradise, see that some offices, I don't know if you have it here or not, there is a password. You have to key in, the door automatically opens before you. The password to paradise is the two testimony. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So that's why in tashahud, every day in our daily prayers, we say that tashahud. We say the tashahud so that the gate of paradise is opened before us. We say the tashahud so that, Ya Allah, it was a human error. If today I erred and I made a mistake, I slipped from the right path, here I am to renew my tashahud, my shahadatain. To renew again, I really didn't mean it. I want to be a good Muslim. If you are praying two rakat prayer, as we assumed it, here you will be given the permission to enter paradise. If it's more, there is more, you go for the third rakat, the fourth rakat, but eventually you will be given the permission. The thing is that once you say the shahadatain, the gate of paradise opens before you. Once the gate of paradise opens before you, the master of paradise, the key holder of the paradise, is the last, the Holy Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi wa sallam. With my soul and the eyes of my soul, it is assumed that as soon as the gate opens, I see the beautiful face, the face full of nur of the Holy Prophet of Islam. That all my life I've been longing for it. Now the Prophet is standing, the host of paradise, right at the door. Like you go to someone's house, the host is expecting you at the door, waiting for you. As soon as you see the Prophet of Islam, you say what? As-salamu alayk, ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Again, someone who is not at your presence, would you say as-salamu alaykum? You don't say that. Pass my salam to your father, brother. But until his father is here, then you say salam alaikum. And because he's the messenger of God, you make it in a complete form. You just don't say assalamu alaik. Assalamu alaik ayyuhan nabi. You're acknowledging that's the messenger of God. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brothers and sisters, Quran is teaching us, if somebody is greeting you, saying salamu alaikum to you, he has done mustahab. It's not wajib to say salam. But if somebody said salamu alaikum to you, it's wajib to reply. Now I have a question for you. Can you fathom, is it possible that in your daily prayer, every day that you pray, you say salam to the Prophet, say assalamu alaik ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and the Prophet doesn't answer you? Is it possible? Is it possible that the Prophet forsakes a wajib? Impossible. So every time, inshallah, your next prayer, when you are sitting towards the Qibla and you say assalamu alaik ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, rest assured the Prophet replies to you, wa alayka as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome in. Come into my paradise. I know some of the scholars, once they say assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaik ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, they would not proceed to the second salam until they hear the reply of the Prophet. What can I do that I'm deaf, dumb and blind? The Prophet takes you into the paradise. Said you deserve now the company of the pious, righteous people who used to pray like you, who used to worship God like you. Now come, I take you in. How often you cried for my Hussein? How often you had chest beating for my Hussein? Come, I take you to the gathering of my children, the most pious of all, Al-Abrar. And that's why as you sit, all of the sudden you go to the gathering of heavenly pious people, Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, all the pious righteous people. In a group gathering, instead of saying salam alaikum, salam alaikum, salam alaikum, salam alaikum, because once you have a group, the group greeting is like this, assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salam, assalamu alayna. Assalamu alayna is the short version, or in Arabic is the easier way of, instead of saying assalamu alaikum, assalamu, you see it becomes difficult. If I'm sitting here and I want to say salamu alaikum, it's in each every person. And as what they do, they make it collective. Assalamu alayna. May peace and mercy of God be upon all of us. Now you are in the gathering of people of paradise in your prayer and say, Assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. What do they say? They immediately reply to you. Now Riwayat says that as soon as you have said this, you have finished your prayer. You know that the last two salam, either of them is wajib, the other one is mustahab. So once I've said, Assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin, I have actually finished my prayer. The third salam, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, is mustahab, which has two meanings. One meaning of it is, now the third one is the greeting of the angels to you and you are replying their greetings. One meaning is that because you went on a journey and in less than a microsecond you came back again to earth, back to your prayer mat, you are saying Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah to your fellow travelers with whom you made this journey. Remember, namaz was jama'at. And it's mustahab, therefore when you say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh, to look left and right. Alright? Yani you are saying Assalamu alaikum taqabbalallah. How was the trip? Did you enjoy the journey? This is just very brief. And inshallah you experience it, you discover much more than this. Very brief about what happens, where do I go, what kind of experience my soul really will have during my daily prayer. Who doesn't want to have this kind of experiences? Who doesn't want every day to meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meet with the Prophet of Islam, enter paradise and meet with all the highest righteous people in paradise? Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq so that inshallah in our prayer we are conscious of what we say. Ya Allah, open the eyes of my heart so that in my prayer I see the Holy Prophet, I see Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, and I enjoy their company. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Few words to finish with tonight. I want to take you out of Karbala along with the captives of Karbala. Ya Allah, I'm ashamed to say captives of Karbala, the heroes and heroines of Karbala in fact. Sayyidah Zainab Salamullah Alayha, she was not a captive, she was the heroine of Karbala. According to some narrations, when they wanted to take them out of the plain of Karbala, just to torture them mentally more, they passed them by the murder site and qatlgah of Imam Hussein Alayhi Salam. Ya Allah, I'm just telling you about qatlgah and the murder site of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, but if for one second, really it's difficult for us to visualize it. They had made a ditch sort of to trap Imam Hussein alayhi salam. From every corner, all the arrows had sat on the body of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Already they had severed the body of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Allahu Akbar. To grab the ring of Imam Hussein, they had just cut the finger of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Even they snatched the clothes of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Now imagine a body that is soaked in blood, headless, crushed by the hooves of the horses, and this sister who was so attached to her brother Hussein that even she did not leave her brother and accompanied Imam Hussein alayhi salam in this trip. Now she is passing by the murder site, the qatlgah. Ya Allah, the scene that Zainab salamullah alayha is watching. Wallah, unless she is not an ordinary human, otherwise who can stand the scene? But that's why as soon as she saw the body of the brother, she dropped herself on the ground. She sat and she is holding the body of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, facing the Medina. Ya Jaddah, Ya Rasul Allah, Hada Husaynul Murammalul Biddimah Muqatta'ul A'zah. و بناتو کسبایا علی لعنت الله علی القوم الظالمین و سیعلم الذین ظلموا ایام غلب ینغلبون فاتحه.